sitting on the bar, stomp your feet, start clapping. Got a real good feeling, something bad about to happen.
Helmets and Heels, brought to you by Underwood Jewelers on 1010 XL, 92.5 FM. Here's Jessica Blaylock, Donna Murphy, Lauren Brooks, and Blythe Brumleave.
Oh, something bad.
We are in for such an awesome night tonight.
We are back.
We are back out at Jackson Social, Beach Boulevard, out in Jacksonville Beach. Come out and join us. We're going to have such a good time tonight. Special show for a couple of reasons. First off, because we are out on location at Jackson Social. Secondly, we're a special two-hour show tonight. And then, of course, guests of honor in the house, David and Mary Gerard. And I know that we have got so many fun things planned for them. They're going to join us in about 15 minutes. But first, let's talk about this past Sunday, Jaguars versus Dolphins. Another great performance, Lauren, for the defense. A little bit of struggles on the offensive side of the ball, in particular, for rookie quarterback Blake Bortles.
Yeah, you say a little bit. It was really frustrating as a fan base to sit there and watch the defense perform that well and then have your star, the franchise quarterback, throw those two pick sixes. And I know Blake's listening, and I know I'm not going to pile on to him because I don't want to make him feel bad right now. I know he's watched the tape. He understands the mistakes that he's made, but you can't do that. And so hopefully he's going to learn from those mistakes. He's going to move forward, and people like David will give him advice on how to avoid throwing the ball to the other team next time.
Well, if you think about it, take away the two pick sixes, that's a tied ball game in the fourth quarter, Donna. And I think fans are a little bit more willing to live with the mistakes because we still see so much potential from Bortles and how good he can be.
I mean, for fans to sit there and expect perfection from a rookie quarterback, you got to get real. You know, he has to make his mistakes, and I'm happy, you know, if he wants to throw up all over himself now, do it now and get it over with. Make those mistakes now while the season we sit 1-7. I'm okay with that because we have seen him shine.
Good
point. We know there's only, you know, better to come. And the defense, I mean, it was so impressive. You know, especially, you know, my favorite player, JT Thomas. I'm just very happy.
Well, one thing that Jed Fish mentioned, Blythe, last week was that Blake was going to continue to throw interceptions. I mean, Blake has never fallen back on the excuse of being a rookie. But let's be honest, there is a little bit of an adjustment from the college level to the professional level, in particular the speed of the game, decision-making, adjusting to defenses, and the looks they're giving you and so forth. But I love the attitude of Blake and the way that he's approaching it. I mean, he was very, very honest after the game and said, look, I'm killing us. I can't do this. But took ownership of it and wants to move forward and just limit those mistakes that he's making and how costly they've been so far.
And that's, I think, one of the brightest points on Bortles is that he's willing to take responsibility for what he's doing. That exact quote, I'm killing us, at least he's recognizing that even it, with a win or a loss, he knows that he has to improve. There are certain throws he cannot make in the pro level that he was making in the college level, and it's just a matter of adjustment and just getting him in there. We're not going to the playoffs this year, so I think it's just a matter of getting him that playoff time, or that playing time.
Damn,
dreams are crushed.
I'm curious from your perspective, because of course we're all at different places throughout the stadium. Lauren, you're kind of bouncing around, giving us a feel for what's going on. I'm usually up in the press box. Donna, I know a lot of times you're at home. You have a small one. Blythe, you're out in the crowd. You're sitting in the crowd watching the game. What was kind of the feel and the reaction, especially after the second pick six?
It's obvious disappointment, but I think anybody that's a logical fan knows that this is to be expected. Interceptions and fumbles are just one of those things that are correctable. And if you look at the bright side of it, it's correctable. So he's just just a learning process. So I think that the surrounding fans around us were all very, except for the Miami fans.
Right. So. The game will slow down for him. We certainly can't expect that yet. But at the same time, you want him to maybe take a sack in a situation where he maybe doesn't see that safety come across.
And I will admit, I'm surprised that he did not run it more often. We know that he is a quarterback that can hurt you with both his arm and his legs. And Jed has specifically talked about wanting a mobile quarterback. I mean, we've seen Blake run it several times. We saw him run it a little bit against Miami. But there were some moments where I was surprised that, you know, instead of taking it himself, maybe he did try and force a throw.
You know, this is the second week in a row that I haven't complained about the play calling. I've been hard on Jed Fish. I haven't liked anything that they have called, but yet they've had so much that they had to deal with. And because now the offensive line seems to be gelling and the running game seems to be working, it made it easier for me to watch the game. You know,
well, I'm glad you mentioned the running game.
Or turning it off, you know.
That is another thing that we saw this past Sunday, the Jaguars' ability to run the football. Mm-hmm. Another great game for Denard Robinson, who was plus 100 rushing yards for the second straight week. The last player to do that actually was Maurice Jones-Drew. I think that was back in 2011. Yeah. Blythe, you think Denard can keep it going? You think that the Jaguars finally found a viable option in the run game?
I mean, he definitely has that eye to not actually go for the contact, and I think that's been a big complaint for Toby Gerhardt, is that he looks for the content or the contact, but for Denard, he actually seems to find the holes, so it's been a pleasant surprise.
Well, and that's another thing Jed talked about, was Denard Robinson and his vision, his ability to not just make the first guy miss, but he's really able now to see what's coming in the defensive backfield on that second level. I'm really happy for Denard because I know how hard he has worked for this. I mean, Gus has specifically talked about how he's earned it on his own. I mean, they have not had to stay on top of him. He has really taken ownership. I think that the Jaguars have found an option that works, and credit to Dave Caldwell. I mean, they took Denard in the fifth round, tried to convert him to an offensive weapon. That didn't really seem to work when they loaded his plate. They've simplified the game plan for him. And it's finally starting to show some signs of success.
Well, one of my favorite things is when we have a player on the show, Helmets and Heels, that would be this show.
Is that what this show is called?
I thought this was Helmets and Heels.
The Frangie Show Hour 5.
For those that don't know, the Frangie Show goes 4 hours, so that's why she said that. All right, so one of my favorite things is when I am in the stands with people who don't necessarily pay as close of attention to the team, I can hear someone say, oh, I love Denard. I heard him on Helmets and Heels, and he listens to this type of music. And that's the kind of one of the things I love about our show, is that we get to bring, like we will with David and Mary Garrard, kind of the personal element to it. I was so happy for Denard because we got to know Denard a little bit. He's a funny, sweet human being.
We got to know that his greatest athletic achievement was scoring his first ever touchdown in Pop Warner football.
Exactly. Things like that, right? And that he will dance and he will sing in public and not be nervous whatsoever. So I love that element. And even Toby Gerhardt, I think hopefully when people watch him, they don't think, oh, well, he sucks. They think, well, Toby has a cute wife and I hope that he makes it. I love Meredith Gerhardt, by the way. Toby's a great human being. He's a self-proclaimed nerd, and he is a fun, you know, another fun guy. And so hopefully what people are learning through our show is not just the football stuff, but also getting to know the people, which we will with a not-so-newlywed game. I hope they're prepared.
Well, another bright spot for the Jaguars, despite the loss, was the defense that just continues to improve. Really struggled in the first four games of the season. We saw this defense giving up an average of almost 40 points per game, and in the past couple weeks, they have really tightened it up. They're now 20th in the league against the run after being ranked 32 out of 32 at one point. So that's an area I think that you have to be excited about the improvement that you're seeing on that side of the ball.
The way that, for me personally, I can look at it and rank how I feel the team is doing is, I grew up a Boston fan, and knowing that you get frustrated and you will turn that game off in a heartbeat, or you will flip back and keep going, because that's how you watch your games. You love them, you hate them, you love them, you hate them. And I tuned into the Jags incessantly for Bortles. I couldn't wait to see how he played offensively. I couldn't wait. And then once they got off, I was like, all right, you know, flip around. But now it's the defense. Like, I can't turn the game off because I get so excited. I'm like, what is Telvin Smith going to do? You know, what is JT going to do? It really is so exciting for me to watch this defensive team just explode.
I like watching them dance. It gets me excited.
Was it Ryan Davis that made the play and then did the Andre Branch like windmill?
Yes. Yeah,
I think I turned to Dan Hicken and said, did he steal that move from Andre Branch? Because I've seen that before.
As long as they don't pull a Chicago Bear and get injured while celebrate, that's fine.
Like, yeah, exactly. But again, you know, we're seeing young guys. We've talked so much about the youth of this team. We're seeing young guys step up. Blythe, there were such big hopes for Jonathan Cyprian to turn the corner this year. Dwayne Gratz also in his second year. You see, it's finally starting to come together, and you see the building blocks that are in place for the future on both sides of the ball.
I know this was the first game that we actually covered a tight end over the middle, which I can't remember the last time it's actually happened. But we also held Tannehill to under 200 yards for, that's the first time that's happened this entire season. I think they held them to the total offense under 100 yards.
Dolphins did not have a first down until late in the second quarter.
Their offense was garbage. I mean, our defense was that good.
No, you can say it. Their offense was garbage.
Garbage. And we still lost. It was a case of the better team losing on Sunday, and that's what was the most frustrating part.
There were some really annoying Dolphins fans in the parking lot as I was trying to do my very important tailgating reports Sunday morning, and I was so frustrated with them, and so I was really excited to say they're going to go home so disappointed, and then they were even worse after they
came. Can I ask what they look like? Because my in-laws were there.
I don't know that they were your in-laws, but they had trucks wrapped with their own pictures on the trucks, wearing pads and like the whole uniform. They had their own picture in that on their truck. And then they had a microphone out in the parking lot, and they were trying to sing the songs that they were playing, rap music. It was horrible. They had terrible voices. They sucked at life, and they still won.
And those are the thoughts of one Lauren Brooks. On that note, yeah, let's give her a round of applause. She'll put it out there. She'll tell you exactly how she feels. A little bit of unfortunate news. JT Thomas did have to cancel. Something came up, so we're not going to be able to visit with him tonight, but we'll try and get him another time. I thought he, having to fill in for Paul Posluszny, stepped in and just did an admirable job. Gus raved about him. Bob Babich raved about his performance. Donna raved about him. So congratulations to JT Thomas on his performance this past Sunday, including that interception in the end zone, taking away some points from Miami. When we do return, though, we will check in with one of our favorites, former Jaguar quarterback David Garrard and his wife Mary. We've got lots of fun stuff planned for them that we are going to surprise them with when we do return. You are listening to Helmets and Heels live at Jackson Social, located on Beach Boulevard out in Jacksonville Beach. So come and join us. This is Helmets and Heels, also brought to you by Underwood Jewelers. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Helmets and Heels. We are live. That's right, live at Jackson Social in Jacks Beach. The crowd is exciting, and they are also excited to now hear from David and Mary Garrard, the stars of the show tonight. We are so thankful that you guys came out here. Thank you. And just, is this fun? Is it nerve-wracking? I know you do radio all the time, so I'm going to talk to Mary first. Is this fun? Is it nervous? Are you nervous? What do you feel like, Mary?
A combination of both.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
I love it. And Mary came out sporting her best Jaguar attire. Excellent. And you guys still go to all the games.
Mm-hmm. We do.
I have walked by the Terrace Suite several times and almost, even though I don't have a ticket, almost knocked on the door and said, David,
I told you to just ask
Mary
for me. Yeah. We'll get
you guys
in.
Let me in? But I don't want to look like the pauper out there.
That's all right. We got some good food in there.
Exactly. So for those of you who don't know, David joins Jaguars today, the show Monday through Friday from 10 to noon. He joins that show with Mike Dempsey and Tony Smith. Usually every Friday, sometimes on Thursdays. We try to do it the day before or a couple days before game days. And I've gotten to know you a little bit, but through the microphone, because I don't actually get to see you. So I always hear that you're wearing tank tops, but you're not in a tank top here tonight. I don't understand what happened.
No, this isn't quite the environment for a tank top, so I left those at home.
Because a lot of girls are wearing tank tops.
Yeah.
What are you saying?
Should we not be in tank? A little different look.
I like it. All right. We are going to get right to it.
Oh, goodness.
Have you guys ever played in the newlywed game before, or the not-so-newlywed game, as I'm calling this?
It's been a long time if we have.
Yeah.
You ever done it on a cruise?
Maybe.
11 years into our marriage,
yeah.
That's
nothing.
It should be fun.
I'm sure there's some people out here, my parents, who have been married almost 40 years, right? Somewhere in there. So 11 years is nothing. All right. David, you get to go first.
All right.
When your wife says, honey, they're playing our song, she doesn't say it in that annoying of a voice, what song are they playing?
Oh, goodness. That's a good question. So I'm going to go with Etta James.
At last?
At last,
okay,
yeah.
Yes. That, all right. Yeah. Look at you. Good job.
Yeah. All right.
All right. And Mary, where was your first date?
Oh, it was at a Mexican restaurant in Greenville, North Carolina, called Chico's.
Oh, yeah. Ooh, Pirates. Got the name. Mm-hmm. And that's correct?
That is correct.
Again, well done. And I promise, they did
this
not get
easy.
These questions in advance. Well, I didn't want to stump you guys.
Yeah, I'm glad. Thank you.
Okay, David, complete this sentence. I knew I had found the love of my life when she...
told me her favorite movie was Beastmaster, which was my favorite movie.
Yes.
Which nobody on planet Earth besides like 200 other
never
people know what that
does
movie
anyone,
is.
Does anyone in here never heard that movie?
Heard Beastmaster?
One.
Yeah.
You know?
Only Jessica Blaylock,
yes.
Whose future husband also's favorite movie must be Beastmaster.
So let me tell you what Beastmaster is. The guy kind of in like Middle Earth, if you will.
No, don't even try.
He could speak to animals, and he had a sword, and he would go out and kind of fight the bad guys that kind of took over his village. And so I was him. His name was Dar, right?
Yeah.
So I was him. He kind of swung his sword around his body. So I would go in the woods with a stick and do the same thing. And he would call a bird. He was like, oh, oh.
Is that how you kind this, of like?
Well, she was
her?
Doing the
I
same thing.
I did the
thing.
Exact same thing in the woods at home.
Yeah. So we were both like 10.
10. Okay.
Or 12.
All right. I feel better.
Yeah.
I thought this was like at East Carolina.
No. No. I might have thought she was maybe a little bit weird then.
Yeah. That wouldn't have worked.
In the parking lot after the game, you know, shouting at birds probably is not a
you know,
good
I
look.
Think I could ask this question to 1,000 people, the question that Blythe just asked. You knew she was the love of your life when? And I don't think Beastmaster would come
ever.
Up in
no.
anyone else's answer
no.
ever on the face of the planet.
No.
All right, Blythe, what you got next?
So if your skill is shouting at birds, can you do something about that pigeon that's on the field on game days?
He was like the best defender out there. I mean,
two
he
games
had
in a row.
Everybody covered, and he played offense too, so he was... You know, he was doing double duty, so I think we need to hire that guy.
All right, next question for Mary. What was the best vacation you've ever taken together?
Oh, our honeymoon in Maui.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes.
We extended it 3 days, actually.
Oh.
Yeah, it was that nice.
What kind of stuff did y'all do?
Eat.
Well, we did some cruising around on boats, just hanging on the beach. We actually stayed in a little two-bedroom villa that was next to a beach. It was called Secret Beach, and they would do weddings there. They would do, wasn't that kind of secret? They would do weddings there every morning and afternoon. It was really cool. One of the local, I guess, priests would come out, and he would blow one of the little conch shell mm-hmm. horns, and we kind of knew that there was a wedding going on.
Did you guys crash two weddings a day?
Oh, yes.
No, we would just angle our chairs to just sit and be a part of their weddings. It was really cool.
Did you say I do when the guy said I do?
Oh, yeah.
I said don't do it. No.
I've only been to Hawaii once. I've never been to Maui, but it is unreal.
Oh, it is.
Did y'all surf? Did you like try to learn to surf?
No.
We tried to snorkel a little bit.
Okay.
And there were actually little turtles, sea turtles that would come up on shore.
Man.
It was really cool. The whales were passing by. I mean, when you come from North Carolina, where you don't really see a lot of that stuff, and Hawaii has kind of always been a dream of mine, and I had just been drafted the year before, so I actually had a little bit of money to be able to go. It was even better than I expected it to
be. And we left the snow and sleet and rain. It did all of that.
We actually got
on our wedding
snowed
day.
In the morning we were supposed to leave in Raleigh, and so that's why we extended it too, because we lost the day being in Raleigh and about 2 feet of snow and ice.
The snow and weathermen should have paid for that.
Yeah, sure. Absolutely.
Yep. All right, let's see if y'all can continue your perfect streak. David, what living celebrity woman, I don't know why it has to be living, but what living celebrity woman will your wife say she most admires?
Oh, goodness.
You can say me.
Yeah. That's a good celebrity. One. You actually got me stumped here. I don't know. This might be our first
failure.
Yes.
Well, you have to guess then.
I don't know. Maybe Beyonce for her dancing.
What? Beyonce?
That was basically a big fat no.
Yeah. No, not Beyonce.
No. Okay. Not Beyonce. I don't think you get another guess. Mary, you want to tell him who it is?
Mother Teresa. But you said living. Is she alive?
Living now. Okay. I don't think she is.
She's living in our hearts, though.
Her spirit will live forever.
Yes.
I'm going to go with Joyce Meyer.
Okay.
You should have known that.
Sorry.
Anybody? Joyce Meyer?
Who is that?
Oh. She's a pastor.
Oh, okay. So
kind of like Beyonce.
Yeah, kind of, more like Mother Teresa, actually.
She's kind of a blend of both of them.
So this woman, Joyce Meyer, can really dance, bit, yeah. Bust a move on
yes.
The altar? All right.
Probably not.
This one's probably a little bit easier.
Okay.
Mary, what will you say David would say is his favorite food?
Oh, Chinese food.
Thank you.
Yes. Yeah.
She's winning, you know
yeah.
That, right?
Piled this high.
Oh,
I set it up
why.
That way. So.
Now, do you let yourself eat that when you're training and trying to be in season?
Not so much.
Okay, because you know it's horrible for you.
Yeah,
right?
It is. It makes you retain a lot of fluid. So, but it is really good. I do love it. I think about that stuff. When you're a bigger quarterback, you have to always be conscious of what you're eating, your size, and all that kind of stuff, because you got to be able to, you know, outrun some guys or be able to move and slide in the pocket and not get too fatigued at the end of the game. So diet, and also I have Crohn's disease, so
right.
I have to think about those things when I'm eating certain foods. But sometimes I just let myself go a little bit and have a little fun.
Well, that's the off season, right?
Absolutely.
What women call every day.
Yeah.
Some of that, exactly. If you went out in the parking lot right now, what would you run your 40 in?
Oh, wow.
That's not
do
on
you
the
have
record.
A sundial? No. I'd probably be under 4. I'd probably be right around 4.75, 4.8. And I ran it just at 4.7. So
okay.
I'm pretty much at my same speed.
And
so
Mary,
after the show, right would after you beat him? Show, we're in a test.
Would I beat him?
Yeah.
For the first 20 yards. But
all right. Yeah. Mary's very athletic, for those that don't know.
Yeah, she is. Absolutely.
All right, back to the game. What is one thing that your wife
Sorry, we went off track there.
We're going to do the whole test for the 40 right after the
okay.
Show. What is one thing that your wife has too much of?
Too much, probably confidence.
Oh,
what?
Is that such a thing?
Yes.
Wow.
Okay, for those yes. That are not here yet, that are on their way, or just listening at home, every single woman's face in here, the jaw just dropped.
Yes.
And they were about to want to walk up and take turns smacking you. Every woman tries to instill
when
confidence
you,
in their daughter,
when
David.
You see, no, not even just everyday confidence. I'm talking about on the field, smack talk. Nobody can stop
the flag
her.
Flag football.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, okay.
Right.
You should preface
football,
it with that.
He's
church
right.
Church softball. I mean.
The church
trash softball.
I try to be the offensive
who
coordinator.
Who talks junk in church softball? I do.
Yes.
That girl.
This one.
This one.
I tried to be her offensive coordinator in flag football a year ago.
Lasted 2 years.
Yeah, and I tried and I tried, and I would tell her, throw it here or there. Nah, go the other way, do something else. I wanted to be Steve Spurrier and just slam my stuff on the
throw
ground.
Throw your visor down.
But I didn't. I kept my composure, and I just quit.
So, Mary,
I
did
said,
you fire
take it.
Oh, no, he quit.
Yeah.
No,
quit.
She wasn't listening to me anyway, so
no.
I said, you take it.
Yeah.
They actually won the championship, so.
We won it without him, so.
It was great coaching that I could remove
so
myself
that confidence works
from the
then.
Team.
Yeah.
So
it got worse. The confidence got worse.
Yeah. It's a good coaching move there.
Wow. I'm surprised the marriage survived. All right, Blythe. take it back, please.
All right, Mary, how old was David when he got his first kiss?
Oh.
I love that question.
Yeah. I don't know if I revealed that to her.
I'm
going to go somewhere with elementary school.
Okay.
I don't know what age, though.
Is that right?
I don't even remember, honestly.
Were you around 5, around 10, around 15?
I'm going to say, let's go to 5th grade. I don't know how old you were.
10.
10.
10 or 11.
So I was 10.
Okay,
yeah.
Elementary school. That counts.
Okay.
You're right. Mary's still one up on you, though. Just so
man,
you know. The trash talking
else.
Is about to begin.
Should have said she was my first kiss then.
Oh.
Make up for the last one.
First true kiss.
Make
first
up for the confidence.
Kiss. Yes.
Yeah. First love kiss.
There you go.
All right. David, who is the disciplinarian when it comes to the kids?
That is me.
Really? All yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll go
we
with
both
that.
Do
we
it,
both
but
do. But when it really comes down to it,
yeah.
Daddy.
If
you
I,
never
want to
make dad mad.
Oh, yeah.
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 And I don't have to do much, you know. It's
if
just
he just
stand
does his,
up,
does his cadence one time?
Yeah.
It's over.
Let's hear a little bit.
Green 80!
Is that code for, like, clean your room?
You, pretty much. Whatever you were just doing, stop it.
Sometimes when he gets really mad, he yells and he goes into that voice, and I laugh because I'm like, you sound like you're calling a play.
And then it doesn't
That's
work,
perfect, so. Though. Code for clean your room. Code for clean the bathroom. Yeah. Code for stop hitting your sister.
Yes. Yeah.
I loved the picture that you guys shared of the pumpkin patch.
Oh, my
and
God.
Every,
oh,
yeah. You have three kids, and every child is doing something else, looking yes. somewhere. Except your son. He was smiling because he's the eldest.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
the other two are kind of out in la-la land.
That's pretty much how they are.
All right. Last one, Mary. What one cute thing annoys you about David?
Dun, dun, dun.
One cute thing.
I mean, obviously it can't be that cute because it's annoying.
Yeah. I don't want to throw you under the bus.
Yeah, man. I'm waiting for this answer.
He kind of threw you under the bus when he said you weren't his first kiss.
That's true.
He thinks air freshener solves all problems.
Oh.
You're like the guy on my big fat Greek wedding with the Febreze.
He has Windex, so that doesn't help. But he's like, I'll just spray it all over the bed, and then the bed's wet.
So then Sorry. Do you wash the comforter, dry the comforter?
I don't know. It sounds like that's too much information. This game is
this game
a
is
turn
spiraled
for the
out
worst.
Of
Let's get back to the game, Blythe.
So tell us about that Hail Mary pass. Yeah.
Which was a great play. That's a great segue there, Blythe. Omaha, Omaha. We need to audible out of this. Yeah. Air freshener solves everything, you know?
Yeah. I love it. Well, ladies and gentlemen, now that you know a little bit about David and Mary Garrard,
a little
bit too
much.
You can start formulating your questions for them because we will take questions from you, the audience. And we will be right back. Again, come out and see us live at Jackson Social on Beach Boulevard in Jacks Beach. You're listening to Helmets and Heels.
Helmets and Heels on 1010 XL, 92.5 FM.
Welcome back to Helmets and Heels, where we are joined by former Jaguar quarterback David Garrard and his wife Mary. We got to know a little bit more about them as far as their married life, their family life, and I have to admit, that was amazing. And I knew the Beastmaster answer, by the way, because I remember, I think it was one of the first years I was covering the team, I went around the locker room and I asked several players, including you, David, what were their favorite bands, what were their favorite movies, and you said Beastmaster, and I'm pretty sure I was like, no way, I totally know that movie.
You did.
And I'm with you. There's only like 200 other people
yeah.
who have ever watched it, so I was very excited. I knew we were going to get along so well, and it was a cool story to know that that's how you and your wife connected. All right, now we have a little bit of a trivia contest for you. Obviously, you lived in Greenville. You played college ball at East Carolina. Spent a ton of time in Jacksonville, also spent some time in New York and Miami. So we're going to play a little game of Name That City. Donna and I will ask you little trivia facts.
Okay.
And we will see between the two of you who knows more about the cities that you have lived in. All right. I will kick things off with this. Which city was damaged by Hurricane Floyd? Oh. David.
Yeah. Greenville,
Greenville,
North Carolina.
All right, you guys are both right on that one.
Greenville, why, do you remember it?
1999.
Oh, 19, yes.
Absolutely. We were actually playing the Hurricanes mm-hmm. that year, and we were supposed to play them at home, Dowdy Ficklin Stadium, and Floyd rolled through. It busted a dam north of us, and the Tar River flooded the whole city, basically. And we had to actually change our game to our hated rival, NC State, the Wolfpack, and we went in there. We were down 20-3, I believe, at halftime. Crowd was out there going crazy, still for us. Our coach told us, you guys, everybody be quiet. Just listen right now. The crowd was hitting the bleachers. They were yelling. It was so awesome. And we went out there and came back on them and tore down the Wolfpack's goalpost. And they made it back to the streets of Greenville, so that's pretty cool. It was a great time.
27-13 win for the Pirates in that one. Well done.
Thank you.
All right, well, which city was dubbed Winter Film Capital of the World?
New York?
Probably New York. I'm going to go with that.
The Winter Film Capital of the World, Jacksonville, right here.
Oh, because it gets so cold here.
Yeah,
no.
Snow and everything. It's awesome.
Back in the 1910s, you can say, The,
we were so
was,
young.
This was old. Jacksonville happened to be old Hollywood.
I do know that. Yes. And then there was a big fire that came.
The 30 silent movies were here.
Uh-huh.
All of them.
Was Beastmaster one of them?
No. Did you know there was a
big
fire?
That's where it made its world premiere.
And wiped out downtown?
Yes.
Yeah.
We actually might have a little trivia question.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll be ready for it.
All right. Which city is one of the smallest major cities in the United States?
That would be New York.
What do you say?
Smallest land-wise?
Like, which city is population? One of the smallest major cities in the U.S. as far as population?
Oh, sorry. Oh. That would be...
Jacksonville.
Nope, that would be Greenville.
That would be Miami.
Oh.
Miami has over 400,000 people in 35.59 square miles.
Wow.
It's
definitely bigger than Greenville.
Yeah. Yes, it is.
But I've heard,
I was about to say, I've heard Greenville has a little bit better nightlife than South Beach, though.
It's up there with them. Doesn't cost as much, I can tell you that much.
Yeah.
What city are both Algie Crumpler and Derek Cox tied to?
Greenville.
There you go. Thank you.
That's right. Crumpler was born there,
uh-huh.
And Derek Cox went to high school there.
Sure did.
What city do the Bee Gees call home?
Is that Stay Alive?
Yes. Those are some songs. The karaoke portion isn't until the 8th.
Okay, sorry.
Oh,
we were just warming up for it.
Miami. It's a wild
I'm going to say New York.
Miami!
Oh!
Well
wrong
done.
Again.
The Bee Gees moved there in 1975.
Wow. Awesome.
Well done. I would not have known that.
Right? No. Even
See,
even
we're
Tom
learning
Champion
something, too.
Know.
We're learning something, too.
Yep. Where did Edgar Allan Poe call home in the 1800s?
Edgar,
I'm going to say Jacksonville.
I'm going to say not Greenville. New York. There hasn't been a New York answer yet.
Wait, was Jacksonville here in the 1800s?
New York City is correct.
Oh,
thank
well
you.
Done.
Yes.
Good job.
All right. I'm making a comeback.
You know what? I have a feeling that you guys are both going to get this correct. Which city was devastated by the Great Fire? Of 1901.
Okay, so there it's Let's not. It can't be Jacksonville.
Jacksonville.
Oh, Jacksonville.
Ding, 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 ding.
Yes. All right.
In 8 hours, the business district was destroyed, and over 10,000 residents became homeless. God, that's sad.
Wow, that is. And we missed out on Disney World, right? Didn't that have something to do with it too, Disney?
Maybe that one, I don't know.
Yeah.
Don't know. You're teaching me something.
Yeah,
now.
Disney World was going
was
to come
was supposed
here.
To be in Jacksonville.
Yeah. But they didn't. They changed and went down to Orlando.
Can you imagine having
That'd
Disney
awesome.
Here in
That'd
Jacksonville?
That would be so awesome.
I'm just going to head over to the Magic Kingdom for a few hours. You know,
grab a bite to eat.
Blake talks at noon. Jed doesn't talk till 1:30. Maybe I can go knock out Big Thunder Mountain.
There you go.
Man, my son would be so happy.
Absolutely.
All right. What city was claimed in 1566 by Spain?
Jacksonville.
New York.
Miami. By Pedro Menendez.
This is a Spanish area. I guess Miami's even more Spanish than...
That is true. All right. What city...
Not New York.
Which city's flag consists of the colors blue, white, and orange?
The flag.
Man, we are awful.
I didn't know cities even had flags, so...
What colors?
Blue, white, and orange.
Blue, white, and orange.
Can we phone a friend? Or
sure.
Can we ask
do
the
we
crowd?
Have any lifelines out here? What do you guys say?
Anybody got any guesses? No, everybody's enjoying
the
podcast.
Everyone's eating.
They're like, we don't even know what you guys are up here doing. We're just enjoying our meal. let's go with...
Wild guess. C.
C is correct.
Yes. All right. Good job.
C must have stood for New York City.
Yes.
It is.
Yes.
Correct answer. You know what? That was a lot of fun. We've actually got some, I think you guys tied, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we've actually got a few questions from the crowd that we want to fit in real quick.
Okay.
Someone has to go home a winner here.
Yeah.
Yeah. The crowd is curious to know how you guys met.
Oh, we met at a tennis party. She played tennis at ECU. And it's a good story. The kicker on our team says, hey, we're pretty good friends. He's like, hey, bud, you need to come out to me to a party. His girlfriend, their tennis team was throwing a party. So I thought, okay, sure. I'll go out with the kicker to a tennis party. Should be a lot of fun, right? So
he didn't know us.
Yeah, I didn't. When I got there, I realized it was a lot of fun. I'd seen her a few times, actually, around campus at BW3's wing place.
He got in trouble.
At BW3's.
Yeah, there's another story. What happened?
He had a girlfriend. And she caught him staring.
No, I wasn't really staring. I think she tripped, and I was going to go assist her. So I was trying to be a nice guy.
After a story like that, how can we get that reality show underway?
I know.
Between the two of you.
You know what? We need to talk to somebody about it, I guess.
Okay, if you guys had a reality show, would people tune in more because of Mary's shenanigans or because of David's shenanigans?
I think it would be a combination.
It probably would, yeah.
It's a combination. It's just the things that happen
to us.
You
work so well together.
The things that happen to us in our lives, it's so funny. Just certain moments, we're always like, see, that would be great for TV there, you know?
That would be fantastic for TV. All right, well, you just mentioned that Mary's sport was tennis. That was one of the questions. What was the sport that you played?
Mm-hmm.
Would you say that you're better at tennis or you're better at football?
I would just say Mary's a better athlete
overall
than I am. Yeah, just overall. She plays flag football now and church softball. She won't even go out there and play tennis in our community at Glen Kernan. The wives there all the time are asking her, Mary, please come out, please come out. She's like, no, I'm so dedicated to my flag football team and my church softball team and her family, so I don't. She can't.
Well, I don't
want to
go whoop up on a bunch of 50-year-olds. It's not nice.
I guess that wouldn't be a nice thing to do.
It's funny because we had Toby Gerhardt on a couple weeks ago, and his wife was a swimmer at Stanford, and he obviously played football and was also a good baseball player. And we wanted to know the same thing from them. It's always funny when you ask a husband and wife duo who are both athletes, okay, who's better at their perspective sport? It's always fun to see.
I would say
he's
better at football than I am at tennis.
But she's just better at so many things, like shooting pool and just random
golf.
Table tennis.
Golf.
She is actually really – and it's sad because I go out there and work like on a weekly basis. I'm at the range. I'm hitting. I try to go get a couple holes in. She might play twice in a year, and she comes out there and just whips up on me and whoever else is playing. They're all like, oh, we got this, Dave. Don't worry about it. And she'll shoot like a 30-something on the front nine. But her thing is she can only get about 12 holes in before she starts to kind of fade
away. Well,
that's
all she
away.
Needs.
Yeah, well,
she just drops that club and says,
pretty
I'm
much,
out.
I'm out.
Do you hit from the ladies' tee?
I hit from
yeah, she does now. She used to hit in college back there with the guys. And when we got married and moved down here, I said, babe, you need to play at the ladies' tees. They're there for you.
Now he wants to move me back.
I know.
Hey, I've requested to play at the children's tee. The one time that I tried to play
you
golf.
You just want to putt the whole time
putt.
And chip.
Oh, I was so thankful for the forced double bogey rule. Yeah. I was like, okay, I'm going to pick up my ball now and maybe like throw it. Is that okay?
It's a tough sport.
All right, how good is ECU? I mean, we've seen them pull off some big wins this season. Are they legit?
They are. Shane Carden, the quarterback, he's doing a great job. He's running that system, you know, that pretty much everybody's running now, where you spread everybody out, you drop back and find the open guy, you get the ball out of your hands really fast. The best thing about our team this year is defense has really been playing. And we've let some people score, but our offense will put up 50, 60 points sometimes. And so Ruffin McNeil, the head coach, he's been great.
He's an awesome guy.
Yeah.
I love him.
He told us our son 2 years ago had a scholarship whenever he was ready to come. So
nice.
And our son's going to be a big kid. So, you know, he's pumped about it. But just the atmosphere they have back in Greenville is awesome. We're actually going December 4th to a Thursday night game. They're playing Central Florida. This is probably going to be for the conference. So it should be a fun time, and we're just pumped about them.
Well, the committee just announced their top 25. East Carolina is 23.
Awesome. Ah. We're happy to still be in there.
Yeah.
You know, we understand that some people are playing a little tougher competition week in and week out, but, you know, we've matched up pretty good with all of them, so.
All right, and then finally for the style maven, David, where is a good place to get a fedora?
Oh. Well, actually, you can just go right to Dillard's. They have good fedoras. Rosenblum's has good fedoras, you know. You can come ask me. I have a couple extra. Don't ask Dan or Brent on our show, ABC, Action Sports. Don't ask those guys.
No.
Because, you know, I'm trying to take the fedora back from them, you know.
I'm trying
with
to...
Our picks.
Yeah, I'm trying to imagine Dan Hicken in a fedora right now.
It's not a pretty thing.
It's
not a pretty thing, but you know, he's actually been winning all year, so I gotta take my hat off, if you will, to him.
I still think James Spader from The Blacklist owns the fedora. That's warm going.
Yeah, and I'm trying to get into that show. So.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, I've heard it's pretty good.
I do have one quick question. You guys have Halloween coming up. You
yes.
Dressing up.
We are every year. We dress up.
And
we're
Star Wars.
Oh,
yeah.
I'm
awesome.
Darth Vader.
Queen Amidala.
Our Perfect. Son is Luke Skywalker.
Yes.
Funniest thing, our two girls. One is Yoda. And that's our little one, Sydney. And her big sister, by a year and 9 days, is going to be, what's the other one? Princess Leia.
Princess Leia. Yep.
So they came with the little headdress and everything. So one Yoda has ears, Sydney, and the other one has a little bun. So
now she talking like Yoda.
Well, she actually kind of yeah. was. Yeah.
Halloween.
It's more baby
like.
Talk though. Yeah.
Oh, well, we thank you guys so much for joining us. We had so
us.
Much fun. I hope you guys had fun.
We did.
Absolutely.
Give
thank you for having
David
us.
And Mary Gerard a big round of applause for being such awesome guests, being so much fun to participate in these games with. We really appreciate it. All right, when we do return, we are going to actually take some questions from the crowd on Jaguars football, see what you guys want to know. That is coming up next on Helmets and Heels. You are listening to 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Jaguars football by women for women. And men, helmets and heels on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
I cannot say enough how much I adore David Gerard and his wife. What spectacular guests. How much fun was that getting to know more about them? That newlywed game was hilarious.
Could they be any cuter? I mean, they're still here, so I feel like I'm talking about them right behind their backs, but I'm saying all good things, I promise.
Yeah, that's true. At least it's all positive things, but we definitely appreciate their time. What was your favorite answer in the newlywed game, by the way? I want to know.
Oh, Quizmaster.
Yeah, the
for
movie.
Sure.
You could definitely tell that they have a little bit of nerds in them because they're dressing all of their kids up as Star Wars characters.
I mean,
I heard
yeah.
them say Middle Earth. So I know that they're Lord of the Rings fans.
Yeah, that's I heard them say I was in the woods by myself with a stick yelling. Like, I don't even need Middle Earth to go to nerd place.
The
right
bird
there.
Call was perfect.
Oh, it was so good. I want a visual image of a 10-year-old David Gerard swinging a stick in the backyard, cawing to birds. That makes me so happy. I mean, David was always one of my favorite players in the locker room. You talk about the ultimate professional and good guy. I mean, he just encompassed all of it.
How many years did you get to cover him?
Two.
Okay.
2 years that I got to cover David, and was always just so generous to the media. I mean, obviously, there were some tough situations that went on during that time. But
and he has such a big personality. I think that's
yeah.
what comes across.
Yeah.
You wouldn't know that he's a star quarterback. He's just a fun-loving guy.
Yeah.
Good husband, good father.
And what's really great about that is obviously, you know, the way that NFL media availability works, your quarterback usually only speaks once a week. I mean, your starting quarterback is designated a specific time to speak to the media. That's on Wednesdays. That's when we obviously talk to Blake Bortles as well. And no matter how many questions David answered and how long he was there, he would always take a few minutes afterwards to just talk to us. Not talk to us as quarterback media, but just talk to us as people, which I always really appreciated. So I mean, I have nothing but wonderful things to say about David Gerard and the time that I had to cover him, and And now, I mean, again, they just proved tonight what fantastic people they are.
And now we know how you're going to meet your future husband. You're going to look for the person who loves Beastmaster.
We're going to be the last two people in the world that show up to Blockbusters, if they, those even exist anymore.
Nope.
Can I still rent a VHS? Is that possible?
As long as you rewind it before you turn it back in.
Yeah, exactly.
Or you get the extra charge.
Exactly. All right. Well, like we said, we wanted to take some questions from the crowd. We've got a great crowd out here, out of Jackson Social. We're here still for the next hour, so feel free to come and join us out here. It is located on Beach Boulevard in Jacksonville Beach. And
I have a question from the audience, by the way.
I have a question as well. Let's start with yours.
All right. Well, I don't know how mine beat yours, but we'll get it in. Susan asked, how do you guys feel, or what do you see the potential of D-Rob, Denard Robinson, in the Wildcat?
I will start. I don't see that happening only because you have a quarterback that's mobile. You don't really need to line Denard up in the Wildcat anymore. I think if you're gonna do something like that, I mean, they haven't used it all year. They haven't practiced. I think they used it last year because they were trying to have things in their back pocket and figure out what worked with Denard, and that's why you saw some Wildcat. But again, last year there were the ball security issues, so once the season progressed and they were trying to limit what he was doing, you didn't see as much Wildcat. But I don't think they need that as part of their playbook anymore. And I think that just handing it off to Denard versus trying, you know, a trick play or something like that, I just don't really think you need it in the playbook anymore.
It's very rare that a lot of college plays transfer over to the NFL. I think we saw a good example of that with the Jets over the weekend, with the guy trying to hide in the end zone, and he failed miserably. It worked a week before for our college team, but it just doesn't translate that well from college to the NFL.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of the Wildcat. I mean, it worked for, you know, the first half of a season, and then and teams just caught on to it, and it's just like, yeah, this is just a tippy-tap little play, and it's not going to work anymore.
Yeah, I think you're right, because when you do start showing your hand with something like that, it makes it very easy for defenses to start game planning for it and expecting it.
But at the same time, we saw such a great play call when they did the double reverse, and that's when Denard gained almost 41
yards. That's great.
They
faked that so well. I was fooled. You're fooled. You know, a lot. The camera guy was fooled. If they're fooled, it's perfect.
Right. So
done.
As a gadget play, I think that the Wildcat, you fake it to Denard, but you actually give it to Blake to run. I mean, there's some things you can do with it. Jed Fish, if you're listening, you know, you can call that the Lauren Wildcat.
Well, you already said that Blake was obviously listening. What else is Blake going to do on a Tuesday except for tune into Helmets and Heels?
Blake has told us repeatedly that he has begged to be on Helmets and Heels, and that maybe the organization is feeling like he just needs a little more time to mature before he can join us, because we might ask him hard-hitting questions like, does he sing in the shower?
Yeah, that's true.
You
got to be prepared.
He did say he wears
you
heels.
You
got
to be prepared for
questions
like that.
He said he
would
join us as long as he didn't wear heels. Not to wear heels.
Aww. All right, well,
but it helps the calves.
Yeah, it does.
That's what he said.
Moving on to our next question from the crowd. Actually comes from Caddy Mike over there, who is decked out in his FSU gear. He's got to be happy about the college football playoff prediction at this point. Wants to know, you know, what signs of growth we're seeing Gus Bradley and Dave Caldwell obviously having to come in here and really strip down this roster, I mean, to its core, and rebuild it. So what are some of the signs that we're seeing as far as growth?
You know, I see that it's impressive how the guys that they chose are clearly the right guys. It didn't take right away, but they stayed consistent. They said they wanted to work with them. They're going to get there. We see the potential. We see that they can get to where we want them to be, and they have proven that, and it's great. You know, we've seen it in the past where, yeah, we're going to go off the limb and pick this guy. We're going to go off the limb and pick that guy, and they just never work out. You know, they're bust after bust, and it seems that Caldwell and Bradley have teamed together to pick these right mesh of guys to go well.
To me, one of the biggest signs of growth has been the offensive line, and then also contributing to the run game recently. We sat here 2 weeks ago, well, we sat at the stadium 2 weeks ago, and gave our progress report that was just horrible for that side of the ball. And we understand that Toby Gerhardt had the injury, But still, there was absolutely nothing really coming of what's such an important thing in the NFL, to be able to establish the run so that you can play action, so that you can pass, so you can throw the ball deep. So for me, the biggest signs of growth have been that. But overall, as a franchise, the fact that they are patient with some of the people that may not be sparks immediately. It takes a lot of patience to be able to take someone and mold them and wait for them to be successful at something. Whether it's radio, whether it's a bartender, it doesn't matter what the field is. You see someone make a lot of mistakes and your first instinct is to say, I'm going to move on to the next person. And the organization, the franchise, has been patient with some of the players. And just like they were in sitting Blake Bortles to start the season. That, to me, is a huge bonus.
As long as the franchise is hitting on the most important player on the team, and that's the quarterback, then that's more than – I'm more than happy with that. I think a lot of the other players, Denard is another one. Colvin is another one that they're going to take a risk on picking later in the draft. Denard has obviously paid off. We'll see if Colvin's going to pay off. I believe he's going to actually play this weekend. But some of the other guys, I think, are still to be determined, but it's still a young team.
Very young.
I think it's the youngest in the league, and something like 12 of the starting players last week were all rookies, and so that's unheard of in the NFL. And so
that should make you excited.
It does, but fans in the NFL, they're not patient,
right.
And they're what have you done for me lately?
Fans don't have to be patient.
Well, and Jaguar fans have been patient for a very long time.
And they've heard rebuilding year after year after year.
Right, so I understand. When you tell someone who's been patient for so long, just wait a little bit longer. But again, it does come back to Blake Bortles. Like you said, Blythe, you hit on your quarterback. I mean, that changes your franchise's fortunes for years. Just like if you miss on your quarterback, that can devastate your franchise.
Let's not talk about that.
We've
for
seen
years.
That.
We have just lived through that. But as far as signs of growth, all right, starting on the offensive side of the ball, I am okay with living with some of the learning and growing mistakes that Bortles is making. Like I said earlier, I think it's okay. It makes the mistakes, even if they're costly, it makes it a little bit easier to live with them because you see so many flashes of how good Bortles is going to be. I mean, Jed Fish, one of the things he talks about was he doesn't even think they've seen the ceiling yet of how good Bortles can be. And to me, that just makes me excited because, you know, I mean, look at how many things already click for him. And, you know, once it all finally comes together with the offense as a whole, and once Blake does kind of cut back on the mistakes, especially the more costly ones, it's going to be lights out. A guy like, you know, in the wide receiving core, a guy like Allen Robinson, who after missing so much time in training camp, has been able to just transition so easily and really become a target for Bortles. Like you mentioned, Lauren, the fact that the offensive line, while they allowed a few sacks this past Sunday, I don't know if those are all on the offensive line. I don't know football well enough to say whether those are on Bortles holding the ball too long, whether that's on the offensive line missing an assignment. I'm not sure, but they are doing a better job of run blocking and creating lanes and protecting. I mean, I thought 2 weeks ago against Cleveland, the offensive line did a really good job of protecting Bortles in the pocket. A guy like Denard showing flashes, putting together back-to-back 100-plus rushing yard games. The fact that you're getting Mercedes back pretty soon, you're going to be able to stretch the field and have another guy that excels at run blocking. Defensively, whether it's a guy like Ryan Davis, whether it's a guy like Avery Jones, I mean, you just see guys making plays from all over the place. It's not just relying on one guy in particular to have to make every single play out on the field. So
I think we would have won if you take the two pick sixes away.
I think it would have been a tied game.
I think we're
heading
on a
two-game
win streak without that.
Right.
And after win the turnover battle.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's something that Bob Babich said is the next goal for this defense is turnovers, forcing more turnovers. You know, they're putting pressure on quarterbacks. The front four, I think, have been really, really solid. After maybe struggling a little bit out of the gate. So now force more turnovers. And, you know, the more turnovers you can force, the shorter field you put that offense in, the more their chances improve to be successful. So can you force more turnovers? And offensively, can Bortles limit mistakes? I think those are going to be two key points moving forward.
You know, in the beginning of the season, I was intrigued. I think it was Blythe and I that were accepting of Chad Henne starting. Yes. And
I thought he would start pretty much the whole season.
Well, that's what they told us.
Right. We were happy with that, you know. And it was...
Look at Lauren smiling just, over here.
It just got tough to watch when they couldn't gel. Nobody knew what they were doing. It was really, really exhausting to watch. But now that the record is what it is and Bortles is in, and we know that for the rest of the season, I don't care what they try as long as we see some kind of improvement, something from either side of the ball.
By the way, and maybe you can attest to this, Lauren, better than any of us, because Jaguars today does take so many calls. Are there really people wanting to see Henne come back in over Bortles?
I heard more of that as far as what Mike and Tony saw on Twitter than I did
actual phone calls. Okay.
We didn't have any phone calls that said that.
Can I just say, if you truly believe that you should bring Henne back in over Bortles, you are certifiably insane.
Mm-hmm.
If you think that...
You're going to take the franchise a huge step back.
Well, all of
not
this...
Not because Henny's terrible.
No, and I'm not saying that as a dig at Henne. Yeah, I'm saying that more as you got to let Bortles learn. You've got to let him make mistakes. You've got to let him get reps. You've got to let him get game experience. That is what is going to make the difference in the long run. Again, earlier this week... One of the things that I thought Jed told such an awesome story about that relationship between Blake Bortles and Chad Henne when he talked yesterday, filling in for Gus, who was a little bit under the weather, and he talked about on that second interception that Bortles threw, Jed said to Chad, why don't you talk to him this time? And so when Bortles came out of the game, instead of going to Jed, Chad Henne came over to him and talked to him. And
sometimes you
Chad
want to talk
and
to
Jed,
your big brother instead of
your
dad.
Chad and Jed kind of sounds similar. But sometimes you don't want to talk to dad. You want to talk to your big brother. And I thought that was such a fantastic comparison. You know, that's such a big part of, I think, why this franchise wanted to keep a guy like Chad Henne around, because he's such a good teammate. He does have that veteran experience. He has been able to get in the playbook with Bortles. He has been able to help him break down defensive film. And such a perfect example this past Sunday of the importance that Chad Henne plays in the development of Blake Bortles.
But it's not like what we saw with Gabbert. You know, it's hindsight now.
Who?
But exactly. You could see the mentality was not there. You could see that he was scared in the pocket, that he was, you know, always jumping at the feet. But we don't see that with Bortles. We see someone who at times looks like he is a vet, and then at times he makes those rookie mistakes. So
at times looks like he almost craves contact because
yes.
He played tight end. He's fine with... He's fine with taking some contact.
Obviously,
if you can
read defenses and you're not afraid in the pocket, to me, that's what I look for.
And I don't think he can read defenses quite yet. I think that's where what we saw on Sunday is the difference. He didn't see the cornerback, or he didn't see the safety, and that will come. Mm-hmm. That I want to somehow create some sort of simulation for everyone to sit there and see what a quarterback sees and how little time you have to make that decision. When you watch the film from the different angles, it is insane to think that we all judge them for throwing that ball when we all would have thrown that ball too. Heck, I wouldn't have gotten the ball there, A, to begin with, but B, I also would have thrown the ball. But I think that's the exciting part, like you said, Donna, though, is that he, and that's why you can't put Chad Henne back in, he has that potential and he has that keen awareness of what he needs to do next time to get better.
All right, when we do return, we're going to take a look at the Jaguars' next two games. They're obviously going to travel up to Cincinnati and then across the pond to London. We'll also share our thoughts on, do we think an NFL franchise will work in London? You'll be interested to hear what we have to say. We're already hearing boos from the crowd, so that might give you a little bit of a heads up about how we feel. We'll also take a look at some headlines around the NFL, and, of course, we will pick Jags versus Cincinnati. I would like to say real quick that one person at this table got Baltimore-Cincinnati right, and the only reason that I can brag about that is because I usually start out so badly in the standings because I never pick anything correctly.
Good thing we don't have standings.
Exactly.
Not anymore.
That is all coming up when we do return. Helmets and Heels live at Jackson Social, also brought to you by Underwood Jewelers. You're listening to 1010 XL 92.5 FM.
You're listening to Helmets and Heels on 1010 XL 92.5 FM.
Welcome back to Helmets and Heels on location, Jackson Social, Beach Boulevard near A1A. We're here for the rest of the hour before Miller on Sports kicks off at 9 o'clock. Ladies, you guys having fun tonight?
Don't we always have fun?
Yes, so much fun.
Four girls talking about football and eventually fashion.
Getting to hang out with David and Mary Garrard. And
Oh, yeah, them.
I love this place. I mean, it really is just such a great place. It's beautiful out here on the patio. Are you guys having fun tonight?
Listen to that crowd. I have to say that during break, I went into the bar and I said, please change the TV outside, because if I have to look at Rob Ryan or Rex Ryan for the next hour, I will throw something at the TV.
Oh, that's
so the World Series is now on, and which is great.
We'd kind of like to be invited back, Donna, so please don't do that.
Well, Rob Ryan could do that to you.
All right, well, the Jags have, I think, a little bit of a tough stretch coming up. They're going to be on the road for the next 2 weeks. They'll start off in Cincinnati, and then instead of coming home, they're just going to head straight over to London to take on the Dallas Cowboys.
Aren't you going to miss your boys?
Yes, I know. I was thinking about how bizarre next week is going to be, and not going down to the stadium and
no naked boys in the locker room.
I wasn't necessarily thinking about that.
I was like, when did Frank and Rick get naked in the locker room?
Oh, I didn't mean those boys.
That's what.
I think I flustered.
I think you might have just a little bit. Let's get back to that tough 2-game stretch that they're coming up on. But Cincinnati, obviously, a little bit of a disaster 2 weeks ago, getting shut out by the Colts, but then they did bounce back against a very good Ravens team.
The NFL is wacky.
It really is.
That's why we suck at these picks, by the way.
What was it?
Speak for yourself.
Yeah, I know. You were killing it.
We have no standings to keep track.
Yeah, conveniently.
I mean, look at how things out. Was it the Rams that beat the Seahawks a couple weeks ago?
Yeah,
like
two points, I think.
The Redskins knocking off Dallas last night, who obviously is playing great football.
You kind of had a feeling that one was going to happen, though.
Yeah,
I think the last time the Skins beat the Cowboys on Monday Night Football was 2005. So
Dallas is
the type of team that will go in to a not non-existent but to a bad team and then just end up throwing up and just okay, yeah, we're gonna take a loss here.
Well, and
what we look like
backup, well, really third quarterback Colt McCoy, not even Kirk Cousins.
Yeah, how
insane
crazy has that been?
That's
that
why
Colt
McCoy
has led Washington to back-to-back wins.
Texas,
I guess. It must be, but
everything's bigger in Texas.
So I want to know from each one of you, what are you looking for in these next two games? What do you either want to see? What do you want to see continue? What do you want to see get better? I'll start with you, Lauren.
Well, I think if, like we just talked about, if the Skins can beat the Cowboys, the Jaguars can beat the Cowboys. They just need to combine things that they've done well separately. They need to put it all together and have an excellent game out of the offensive line, have a pretty good game out of Blake Bortles, have a pretty good game out of the run game, and the defense needs to play just like they've played, with the secondary stepping up, with the defensive line just playing out of their minds like they've played all season, for the most part, here or there. They've had some struggles. But other than that, I said before the season started that Chris Clemons was going to be the guy that I was going to watch, the defensive end that came from Seattle in the Super Bowl-winning Seahawks. I think he's played pretty well, and I am interested to see how he does against veterans like Tony Romo. I expect one out of the next two games to be a victory. That's what I expect. I don't know which one it's going to be yet, but that's what I want to see.
All right,
and I will be disappointed if that does not happen.
That is an optimistic outlook.
That's what I am.
Well, listen, you are optimistic. Listening to Jeff Lagerman, Jaguars today's
love him
today. It was great to hear him talk about JT Thomas and him filling in the spot of Posluszny and how well he did and the great things that he can bring to that. Yes, he's not Posluszny. Nobody is. We know that.
Can you do it in a Jeff Lagerman accent?
I can't.
Dang
I don't.
It.
I don't have a dip in my mouth, so can't do it that way. That's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for consistency throughout that defense, but I'm looking for Bortles to get rid of those rookie mistakes, hopefully sooner than later. You know, the running game, the offensive line seems to be clicking. So as long as they stay consistent, as long as the defense stays consistent, my concentration will be straight on Bortles and how he reacts, especially going on the road for two straight weeks.
Z-Murf sounds like Gus Bradley right there. She's looking for consistency.
Consistency. Constantly
getting
better. Do your job.
And get better every week. Blythe, what about you?
I just want to see us win the turnover battle. I want to see Blake reduce them, and I want to see the defense create them. I think that's the key to our victory, because Blake isn't going to, he's not at the point where he's going to win it all for us right now. Every other side of the ball seems to be clicking, except for special teams with the blocked field goals. I don't get that. I read an article earlier where Scobie needs, I guess, kick the ball higher up, but then the middle of the blocking isn't coming through for him either. So it definitely winning on special teams on all sides of the ball besides defense. The defense is really the only one's clicking.
By the way, speaking of Josh Scobie, I want to give a shout-out to him and his wife.
Yes.
They just welcomed their second little boy into the world.
David.
So congratulations to Josh and Melissa Scobie. She looked better after giving birth than I ever have in my life. I'm not upset about that at all.
Congratulations. Like Samantha Ponder, where you didn't even know she was
so beautiful.
Pregnant, and then all of a sudden she has the baby and she looks normal.
Well done, Josh. But
kind
Josh,
of like Donna Murphy.
Josh was one of our guests on Helmets and Heels a couple weeks ago, and he's fantastic. So congratulations to them and their family and welcoming their new son into the world. As far as what I would like to see, look, that game last year in London was a disaster. And I understand this is a completely different Jaguar team than what played in London last year and was just beat down by San Francisco. But there are players that were on that team last year that are still playing for the Jags. So I want to see a better performance in London for sure. I don't want to see a final score of, what was it, 40 something to
embarrassing.
Three
That's
or seven. Or
it is a race from the mines.
Yeah, it was bad. But, no, exactly, Blythe, what you talked about, Blake limiting the turnovers, limiting the mistakes, and how much they end up costing the team. Continue on with the run game. I mean, can Denard put three in a row? Hitting on the consistency, I mean, that's what you want to see. Any player can have a big game once or twice or every couple of weeks, but can you put it together week after week after week? That is what the coaching staff is looking for from every position, is constant improvement, constantly getting better, that consistency.
Don't make the same mistakes twice.
Right. Learn from those mistakes. I remember talking to Dwayne Gratz earlier in the season when they were just a few games in and the defense was just getting lit up. He said, look, teams are going to hone in on the mistakes that we're making because they know where they can hurt us. So we've got to stop the bleeding and be better. And the defense has proven that they've been able to do that. So now it's up to Bortles, stop the bleeding, mm-hmm. stop trying to force throws if you don't see that it's there, and learn from it. So I want to see Bortles cut down on the turnovers. I'd like to see him run the ball more himself. I want to see the run game continue to excel, protection from the offensive line continue to improve, and defensively, you know, put as much pressure on Andy Dalton as you possibly can, because he is a guy that can make plays. There was a lot of talk about the Bengals before the start of the season and winning their division.
AJ Green got hurt.
Yeah, and AJ Green obviously banged up with that toe injury, but still, they have playmakers. And if you don't put pressure on Dalton, they can really hurt you.
And they have a good running game.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Giovanni Bernard. Yep. We know all this from Helmets and Heels, which, by the way, our Helmets and Heels Fantasy League, 7-1, baby.
Yeah.
7-1. That's right.
High five for that.
Suck it, boys. Everyone who's played us so far has been a guy, I think.
When's the one time that we lost? Who did we lose to?
Oh, I made the mistake of not listening to Blythe, and I took Phillip Rivers out. It was like week two, and I put Joe Flacco in.
Ah.
Yeah.
And that was all she wrote.
I tried.
Yep. So now I always listen to Blythe.
All right, so what are you ladies going to do for the next few weeks when the Jags aren't at home? I kind of talked about it, how I'm going to go through withdrawals from going down to the stadium.
I'm going to sleep in Sunday morning.
Yeah, that will be nice. But what are some of your favorite things to do for away games?
I always go to my parents' house, or a lot of the Bold City Brigade guys, they go to Engine 15, so I'll hit up that spot or just watch it at home with the family.
I will be the official representative for the 1010XL Jaguars watch parties They will be at Dave & Buster's November 2nd. Everyone get out your iPhones, put this on your calendar. And then November 9th at Boston. So come on out, hang out. It'll be a fun time when we win.
You know what? Away games, home games doesn't change for me. It's home with the two-year-old playing, so that's what it is.
You know what? I just thought I could take this Sunday off and maybe watch the game, but no. I will be hosting the Jaguars post-game show this Sunday.
That doesn't sound difficult in the least.
No,
what is it, 3 hours?
2 hours.
Only two hours?
Get ready for the phone calls of Start Henny.
I will be like, no.
No, because we're going to
win.
That's all I heard from Hacker.
Click. I'm not going to take those phone calls. All right, when we come back, let's take a look around the league, some of the storylines that are going on. We'll talk more about that Jaguar game in London and whether or not we think an NFL franchise could succeed across the pond. That is all coming up when we do return. This is Helmets and Heels live at Jackson Social, brought to you by Underwood Jewelers.
Helmets and Heels on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
Welcome back to Helmets and Heels. Again, we are live at Jackson Social. We're going to be wrapping things up pretty soon, but I think we're going to stick around and hang out just because we like this place so much. If you want to come out and hang with us, it is located on Beach Boulevard right after you go over the Intercoastal, right past Penman on the left. Come out and join us in Jacksonville Beach.
Calling all Beastmaster movie fans.
Please, someone, just show up and tell me you like Beastmaster. All right, ladies. We talked a little bit about the next two matchups for the Jaguars. One of those is going to be played in London.
Which, by the way, did any of you this year, obviously it happened last year, did any of you consider going?
Yes.
Okay. And what point did you get to before you decided not to go?
It was just more of a passport reason for last year. But no, as a family, we're going in the fourth year. So we've already decided that. But it's definitely on the list. I've heard it's like a mini Super Bowl over there.
I'm glad you mentioned passport because I've been thinking for the last, I don't know, 3 weeks or so that I really want to go. And I looked up flights a couple different times. They're around $1,000. I kind of asked my grandfather if he wanted to give me some of his frequent flyer miles. He laughed at me. So I really seriously considered it. It just now dawned on me when you said passport that I don't have an active current passport. Mine's expired. That might have been an issue.
And you can get a rush on it, though, for $90, I think.
Oh.
Within, like, the next few
72
days?
Hours. Yeah, 72
really?
Hours.
I would have right, totally well, pulled to the Helmets and Heels audience to throw in for that $90 for the expedited passport. So, sorry. I just audibled on our show plan, but I had to ask.
Taking all donations for our future London trip, just go ahead and throw it in that wine glass
Susan
right there.
She'll go. She didn't say she would do
it. Oh, okay. All right. Well, then these include donations.
Yeah,
for
I think
well.
Helmets and Heels year three should go. I mean, you know.
Do our show live over in London. Everyone else is going. Why can't we go?
Exactly.
I'm a Super Bowl girl. I go every year with Mike, and I just. I can't get enough of it. You meet so many legends, so many current players, and then the actors that show up. I mean,
what do you wear to the Super Bowl?
Everything. I don't know. You got to see. There's a lot of outfits. I come with the most.
Well, we have our first donation.
Thank you, Caddy Mike.
Nice. Caddy Mike
That's
is
right.
the best. He brought
don't
us cookies. He gave us money towards our London trip.
But I think you and I are going this year.
You know, I've heard rumors. I'm also not sure, though, because we do have some limited staff in the spring or the, well, winter / spring because our office manager, business manager is having a baby. So
yes,
I've heard there's a little bit of complications there. So we'll see.
I think we'll be okay.
All right. Well, London franchise, do you think it will work?
I personally don't think so. I don't think the Jags were really ever moving there. I love that Shad Khan, the owner, took the business plan over to London and realized that he could see such a huge profit from that game. Normal Jaguar revenue is around $6 million, I believe, and this game profits or nets about $10 million. So there's a massive difference between playing a game in Jacksonville and playing the game in London. I love that we have overseas fans. We get to hear from them every day on Jaguars Today, whether it's via Twitter or they call in. I think that's spectacular, but no, I don't think the franchise will survive over there, mainly because players and coaches don't want to live over there. Not because it's a terrible place, but because their families are here, and it's such a disconnect in as far as time zones. So for me, no, Donna.
I don't think it would work just for the fact of fans, a fan base. I get that, yeah, they're interested in what we have to send over there, you know, three times a year, whatever it is now. But it just, it's like, I'm not a huge soccer fan, so it's sending soccer over here. Not many people show. I understand it's the most attended sport, the World Cup. I get it. But we can't resonate with that. We can't get it. Just like they don't understand our form of football. You know, so I wouldn't see it lasting maybe more than a season.
But, Donna, I believe.
I believe that. I believe in victory.
I believe that we will win.
Gosh, I want to watch the Gus video again now. Blythe, what do you think?
I think the NFL Europe didn't survive, and the most popular areas where it did actually succeed was in Germany and in London, mostly because of the large Americans that were already there. I think there's a bunch of American bases over.
Large Americans?
Large American fan bases. I need to correct that.
All those fish and chips.
Just, God, that sounds good. But I think the only way that the NFL survives over in London is if they put an entire division over there. If it's four teams over there, so they're not traveling as much, you're still playing each team twice. I think that's the only way, is to put four teams over there.
I completely agree. I you know, okay, let's go back to the beginning. I have never seen a story that has had such a hold outside of the city that the story was actually about. It's so funny when all the national media were so stuck on the idea that Jacksonville, their franchise was going to move to London, where within Jacksonville, you felt so confident about the team's commitment to the city. And whenever I would go on with radio stations in different cities, I would always get the question, are the Jaguars moving to London? When is this franchise moving to London? And I would just tell everyone that everyone outside of Jacksonville is so delusional about this story. It's not, you know, A, it's not that easy to move an NFL franchise. I mean, you have to have all 32 owners on board. You have to prove for a certain number of years that your team is losing money. It takes a lot of steps to prove that a team should be moved to a different city. I think logistically, it would be a nightmare to have just one franchise over in London. I could see it if you did maybe four teams, that way they could play each other. You would limit the travel from London to the States, from the States to London. I mean, think about the fact, all the things that have to be planned for the Jaguars to make one trip there this season. I mean, they're already leaving straight from Cincinnati to head over there. You have to set up practice. You have to there's so many things that you have to plan for. And the fact that, you know, England has an entirely different government, different tax system mm-hmm. than the United States. How do you regulate salaries and taxes and things like that based on the way that England and Great Britain does things versus the way that the United States does? I mean, there's just so many things that you have to think about that are so much bigger than just, hey, we want to have a team over in London. All right, cool. Let's move this team there or this team there. It's just not
the low-hanging fruit.
It's just not that easy. So I think unless, like you said, Blythe, unless it's an expanded division over there where you've got several teams that can compete each other, I just don't think you're ever going to see one team specifically move over to London and a city here lose their franchise. I think L.A. is much closer to getting a team. I don't think it'll be the Jaguars, but I think L.A. is much closer to getting a team than
Which,
London.
To me, that's a joke. They've been there before and it hasn't worked. Why do you keep digging that well? But it's not like the Baltimore, you know, era when they just upped and moved in the middle of the night. It can't happen like that. But with certain cities like Jacksonville, where there happens to be a lot of transplanters here, you know, it would be so devastating, and it would just, I don't know how many people would still remain fans because they would go back to the original team that they once had. Unless you're 20 or younger, you have another team that you have rooted for, you know, so it would be difficult to find that again.
The whole state of Florida suffers from that because all of the transplants in every sport.
And just another point as far as the Jaguars staying in the city of Jacksonville, look at how much Shad Khan has already invested into this team and into this city. I mean, I understand that Shad Khan has very deep pockets, but you don't put $20 million of your own money into these scoreboards. You don't do a $10 million locker room renovation. I mean, that is still so much money to pour into a team. He has made it clear over and over how committed he is to this city. There's talk of future projects and future renovations. I mean, I think that Shad Khan has proven his commitment to this city over and over and over again, whether it's pouring money, whether it's helping create jobs, whether it's boosting the stadium, boosting the team's value. I see nothing but the value of this franchise continuing to grow because you have an owner like Shad Khan who is a businessman first and knows how to prosper, you know, what he owns, and he leaves the football decisions to football people. I think that's why it works.
The last time I checked, London is landlocked, correct?
Yes.
Right,
yes.
Everyone?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Shad Khan has a gorgeous yacht.
Yes.
That he can pull right on the banks of the St. John's River and go right out to it and have parties, and you can't do that in London. So there, that solves everything. Let's move on.
I think that's where our next outing should be, right?
I wholeheartedly agree. I actually... The first time I spoke with Shad, I almost asked him that question. Then I said, well,
what, can I go on your yacht?
I ended up starting off a little slower, and I said, all right, I know that the yacht is about the same size as the video boards, the brand new video boards.
It's bigger, actually.
But they're very close. And I said, did you do that on purpose? And Shad said, just like women like their bags to match their shoes, I wanted my yacht to match the video boards. And
that is
so
awesome.
I know. I'm standing on the sidelines at training camp, and I wanted to be like, so you want to have us on our yacht for Helmets and Heels? But I decided to take it a little slower and just say, thanks for your time,
Shad.
Play
cool. Shad, call us. We're free anytime if we get an invite on the yacht. All right, ladies, you know, one thing about this show, it is all women.
Mm-hmm.
And we do
except
like to talk.
Except when David Garrard joins
except
us.
For when, yeah, or a Jaguar player. But it is hosted by four women. On occasion, don't we kind of want to talk about who we think are the hottest quarterbacks in the NFL?
I think that's what occupies mainly all of our breaks. It's just no one gets to hear that part. One of our topics a while ago that we suggested was hottest quarterback matchups. But honestly, that's trying to pay attention to way too many things. So let's just delve into who we think is the hottest quarterback. Blythe?
Why do you start with that?
Because you're the one in red lipstick and a red shirt, therefore you can blush the easiest and make it match.
All right, I got a few. So,
one.
I have a few as well. I don't want to be limited to one.
One.
Donna, these
it's
women.
Called the
Patriots
backup
quarterback. The Patriots backup quarterback, girl.
Jimmy Garoppolo.
He's a looker.
Except you wouldn't be able to spell your last name.
That's fine. It's negotiable.
Say or spell.
And then I would go with the Texans quarterback, even though.
Ryan Fitzpatrick. For
I
those
like
who don't
beard.
Know, Jimmy Garoppolo looks
without
a lot
the beard?
Like Tom Brady.
No, with the beard.
With the beard.
She likes the Duck Dynasty almost beard by Ryan
so
Fitzpatrick.
So you're a Jeremiah Johnson type of. Who knows Jeremiah Johnson out here?
Don't you expect like to find something in that beard, though? Like something
oh, you
crawling?
They make conditioner and all. You can tease it. I have a little bit of experience.
Oh, my gosh. You want to tell us about your experience teasing a beard? This is a whole new topic.
You take a teasing brush, you put some conditioner in it, and you tease it.
Huh. Well, that wasn't as difficult as I thought.
That's it.
All right, so you have two, Blaylock.
I will go next. I also have a couple. I will say that I think I'm one of the few women that does not find Tom Brady attractive.
Oh, I agree.
Tom Brady does not do it for me. I'm sorry.
Why are you clapping? Are you clapping because he is, or are you clapping because he's not? What am I?
Oh, they agree.
Twilight Zone?
They agree.
Twilight Zone here.
I'm sorry. I think Giselle is hotter than Tom Brady. I have no problem saying that. So I'm going to go with Russell Wilson, without
a
doubt.
Your height.
I've never had a problem with height before. And my weird one, I've already said it before, my bizarre NFL crush that everyone is going to say, what? Brian Hoyer.
All right, so for those of you who don't know what he looks like,
just Google Brian Hoyer.
Yeah, we should take a phone around. Brian Hoyer is not attractive. No offense, Brian Hoyer.
It's totally fine. Different strokes for different folks.
Maybe he's a Beastmaster fan.
Maybe. Well, he's also married, and I think they have a kid married to his college sweetheart, so it's fine. I'll just watch from afar.
All right, I only really have one. I'll say Alex Smith for the Cardinals. See, I got a few people cheering. See, they agree with
what
me.
What about Philip Rivers? That's another one. I forgot to
mention.
Oh,
yeah. He has like seven kids, attractive. Though. I don't know. For some reason, that
seven
ruins,
kids?
Yeah,
yes.
That ruins it for me. Jesus. I don't need to be around that many kids.
All right, that changes things.
Well, Donna? Apparently, I am in a world of my own here at Jackson Social. Tom Brady is my guy. I don't understand how everybody is know about him.
It's that water slide picture of him going down like a five-year-old. That
or,
did it.
Or from
there is no more more
from the
GQ.
Draft, was it?
Yeah,
the picture.
Well,
the
if you're gonna go back, yeah. If you're gonna go back to what everybody looked like when they were scrawny, then we would all look ridiculous too. But no. But before we move on, I just want to mention that Kansas City Royals now lead 1-0 against the Giants.
With two on.
Yeah.
It's an elimination game. Casey can extend it. If the Giants win, it is over. Bumgarner has been a beast, by the way. They said he could pitch from the bullpen tonight. So, yeah, Kansas City up 1-0 on the Giants. All right, so you're going with Tom Brady.
I would always. Even if you said hottest player, I would say Tom Brady.
All right, I'm going to switch it up on y'all because we did not prepare this one.
Okay.
Least attractive quarterback.
Oh, Ben Roethlisberger.
Not even.
Oh my gosh.
Not even.
Sorry, Big
Ben. All right.
Not attractive.
Blythe, Donna.
I'm sorry. I know one of them was here as a backup QB, but you can have your pick. Any of the McCowns. Just nope. One of the McCowns. No, thank you.
I mean, you had to pick someone that wasn't good. A and now B isn't attractive.
Hey, you just look at that and it's.
I got it. Andrew Luck. That voice is awful. And he's my pick.
But
he's exactly
like
Peyton Manning.
It's ugh.
It's exactly.
No beard for Andrew Luck, though?
No. A beard cannot help him at all.
All right.
All right. Let's wrap up with this. What team, who, whichever way you want to go, what's the biggest disaster in the NFL right now?
By the way, my least attractive quarterback, Mark Sanchez.
Oh,
now back
what?
To disasters.
Okay.
I just
yeah, I'm still going Roethlisberger. Not even close.
Biggest disaster in the NFL or biggest disappointment?
Biggest disaster, biggest disappointment.
Jets.
It's the Jets. Consensus.
That's why I changed that TV. I couldn't look at Rex Ryan anymore. It is just the Jets just go. That's it. That's all I have to say.
That play last weekend with the guy hiding in the end zone, I mentioned it earlier.
Come
but that
on.
Was
It doesn't laughable. Be it doesn't be butt fumble.
Yeah,
but
nothing
it's,
tops butt fumble.
No,
ever.
But it's bad.
Hence why he's not attractive. He sucks.
The Jets make me happy that I'm a Jags fan. They're one of the few franchises
yes.
that make me feel better about myself.
Yes.
The Tampa Bay Buccaneers just paid, what was it, almost $90 million with over $50 million guaranteed to Gerald McCoy. To me, the Bucs are spiraling out of control. They've had embarrassing performances on primetime networks. The Buccaneers are a disaster and a disappointment.
I thought the Bucs would be one of the most improved teams mm-hmm. based on their draft and what they did in free agency. And, yeah, they've been a disaster. But I'm going to go with Oakland. They've already mm-hmm. fired their coach. They still haven't won a game yet. They can't really seem to figure anything out. And they've been bad for so long now. Oakland's our one redeeming factor when, you know, we're sitting at 1-7.
Barely.
At least we're not Oakland. Can we say that?
Yeah.
I'd like to know. I'd like to know how Mojo is feeling.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, well. Sorry, Mojo.
Shouldn't have talked trash about Jacksonville.
You decided to go to the West Coast. See ya. All right. When we do return, we'll pick the Jaguars game against Cincinnati this Sunday. Spoiler alert, who you think I'm going to go with, seeing as how I pick the same team to win every week.
Yep.
And we'll also check in with Richard Miller.
For your 1-7.
Exactly. See what he's got coming up tonight. We'll wrap things up next on Helmets and Heels.
You're listening to Helmets and Heels on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
Welcome back to Helmets and Heels. Kansas City, by the way, has taken a 2-0 lead. Jake Peavy on the mound. It looks like
and
he is
out.
Cold. He looks like the Jake Peavy that pitched for the Red Sox.
Yeah, I remember that one.
And kept getting lit up. Mm. Yeah, it looks like that Jake Peavy. I know, sorry. I'm a little bitter.
I remember.
All right, I'll stop dogging.
It's just truth. That's
I'll
all
stop
it is.
Dogging Peavy now. Let's pick a couple of games. How does that
yes.
sound?
The picks are brought to you by Kitchen and Flooring Concepts. Those guys are the best, not just the best at kitchen and floors and bathrooms, but also the best tailgating group ever. They feed me and provide me with endless entertainment every Sunday. They are actually going to sponsor one of our live remotes, the Thursday night game planned two nights before for the Tuesday night before December 16th. They are going to be all over that remote, so get ready. Well, and drum roll, please.
Like we heard earlier, yes, Jessica got the one right for Baltimore-Cincinnati last week. We all picked Jags, so we got that one wrong. So this week, Jacksonville heads up to Cincinnati. Jacksonville has already spotted 11.5. No need to go to Jessica.
Give me the Jaguars.
Yep. Lauren.
I'm going to take the Jags to cover the spread. I don't know if we can win this game, but I definitely think that Bortles is going to learn. He's going to make those precise throws this week, and we're going to, if we win, I'm even happier, but I think we'll cover the spread.
Do we know what the weather is going to be in Cincinnati?
Do not.
I know there's possible
Cincinnati on my quick
pick. I know there's possible snow at Foxborough for the Denver-New England game, so I didn't know if any of that
I'd imagine
head
it's
that
getting
way.
Pretty cold up in Cincy at this point.
Blythe?
I'm really conflicted because I really want to pick the Jaguars, but I don't think they're going to win.
11.5. You think they'll cover?
I want to say yes. Ooh. I do want to say yes, but I don't think that they do. I think that they lose this weekend and they win in London. That's what I think.
That's kind of how I feel too, but I think we can lose by less than 11.5.
I will say I think you're going to see them try and run the ball a lot.
Yes.
I think that they're going to be more cautious, especially with Blake coming off of two pick sixes. I think just because of Blake himself, not that Jed's going to all of a sudden close the playbook on Bortles. I just think they're going to be more cautious with the pass. My prediction is that you're going to see them run the ball a lot more. I think you're going to see Bortles run the ball a lot more.
And Lauren just showed me 52 degrees is a high.
Oof,
for
but
Sunday
sunny.
For them.
But
yeah,
sunny.
But sunny. So I am actually going to leave Blythe all out on an island by herself. I think the Jags will cover.
I think.